It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. Sorry, I don't think I was here last week. We played a rerun. So the last 2 weeks, you heard me talking to Josh Lovelace about the Christmas concert that we had this past weekend, which was amazing. We certainly thank Josh of Need to Breathe and his album Young Folk, which is a great children's album. You need to get it on iTunes and other places as well. But if you want to learn more about Hope Resource Center, you can at investinghope.com. You can listen to our podcast at investinghope.com. You can read our blog. All of those things, investinghope.com. Also, we have some new shirts. I'm wearing it right now. I know you can't see it because this is radio, but trust me, it's amazing. And it says Image Bearer, and we're going to be rolling out some things in the next few days on our website at investinghope.com, where you can go and shop our website, shop our items, our shirts, our coffee mugs, hats, and different things that we have. And again, to partner and stand with us at Hope Resource Center, we would certainly welcome that, and we thank you for that. So today we are, let's see, it's Tuesday. We are a week from Christmas. We are 1 week from Christmas. That's a big deal. What that means is next Tuesday, December 25th, I will not be live. I will be alive, I'm hoping, Lord willing, but I will not be live on the air at Joy 620. So we will be playing, if I'm honest, it'll probably be the same show that you're hearing right now. We'll be played next week. So you'll get a double dose of that. But if you're at your family thing for Christmas, what I would recommend is all of you gather around your dinner table and you play this show.
That's going to be weird. they're listening to it that day, and it's going to say the same thing.
It will. Yeah. It will. And so if you're listening right now on December 25th, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. That's what we would love for you to listen. But we also understand it's Christmas time, and you're going to be with family and friends. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about some life things that are happening around the country that I think is worth noting, and we're also going to look at some Advent stuff that I think is important as we, of course, draw closer to celebrating the birth of our Savior. But it doesn't stop there, certainly. And so he didn't stay in the manger, he didn't stay in the hay. He grew up and brought about salvation for the world. So I want to start there with an article written by Matt Chandler at the Gospel Coalition. Matt Chandler is a pastor of the Village Church, a large Southern Baptist church in Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's an author, and I would encourage you to look him up. But this article is found at the Gospel Coalition, and I think it's important because what he does is he puts all of the Christmas season in the proper perspective. And so if you don't know Matt Chandler's story, a few years ago, and I'll just start reading his article. So I want to give you a glimpse of why he looks at Christmas the way he does. And this is his words. Okay, so he says, on Thanksgiving, 9 years ago, I had a seizure. That seizure revealed I had a tumor in my right frontal lobe of my brain. On December 4th, surgeons cut out the tumor, and Matt Chandler was 34 years old. He awoke from surgery with some weakness on his left side. And he was released from rehab on December 16th with a scar on his head, hair starting to fall out, and facing 18 months of a high-dosage chemo and radiation. The first real outing was a week later when he went to Christmas Eve services at his church. And as he sat in the back of the building, he could hardly hold it together. It's hard to stay composed at Christmas when you've just heard the words, "You have a couple years to live." It was a difficult Christmas for our family. I was wondering if it was going to be my last. They were wondering if it was going to be my last. Again, these are Matt Chandler's words, but it was okay. It was okay because the tumor, which spoiled Christmas and threatened to finish my life, didn't take away my hope. The beauty of the first Christmas is that God put an anchor down for our souls, regardless of our circumstances. And the beauty of Christmas is that it's just the start of the story, not the end. The story doesn't end with a baby in a manger or a man on a cross or even an empty tomb on a hillside. The story hasn't ended. It ends on a day that has not yet come, when that baby, now a man and the ruler of heaven, will return to the world and say, "Behold, I am making all things new," as we see in Revelation 21. That day all of us are so hungry for, when everything is made perfect, is coming. But it's not going to be Christmas morning this year, or next year, or any year. It'll be the return of the King of the universe. On that day, for those who know him now and who are looking forward to his coming, there will be the perfection we are looking for. On that day, there'll be no more desperation, no more depression, no more anxiety, no more loss, no more brain tumors. All that is sad, all that is dark, all that has gone wrong, there won't even be a remembrance of it. All that's been confusing, all of the moments we thought, "Where are you, God?" will vanish. Now we live pressed up against a stained glass window and all we can see is bits of jagged glass. Then we will be able to stand far enough back to see the beauty of it all. Christmas is the start of that story. Since that Christmas spent with "You Have a Couple Years to Live" rolling around in my mind, I've loved Christmas all the more. Christmas has grown even better for me because I've come to appreciate that Christmas is when God got involved, gave me hope, and showed himself worthy of my trust. I love Christmas all year round, and yes, I love getting the decorations up way before December starts. There were no guarantees the chemo or radiation treatments would succeed. The side effects were often horrible. I prayed that God would help me keep knowing he was worth my trust. I prayed that God would help my family. I prayed that God would heal me. And after 9 months, the brain scans came back clear. After another couple rounds of chemo, I was given a clean bill of health. The tumor was gone. The next November, Lauren's, and again this is Matt Chandler's words, Lauren's step-grandmother came for Thanksgiving and she brought a Christmas present. So we had this one present sitting in our living room on the shelf for a month, waiting to be opened. Matt's daughter was 8 that year and she just stared over at it. Even if the TV was on, she'd literally just be staring at the present. There was this kind of giddy, "I can't wait to open it." Well, 2 millennia ago, God came into this world and he gave his world a present, himself. He came as a man who lived and died and rose and who now reigns in heaven and who will one day return and make everything perfect, perfect for all who follow him. If you accept this gift, you have everything to look forward to. You can always know your best days are ahead. Whatever else is going on in your life, you can look to Jesus with a kind of giddy, "I can't wait for him to come back" feeling. Every December, the commercials promise us that perfection can be ours. But every Christmas, that perfection never truly comes, and it certainly never lasts. And yet perfection can be ours forever when Jesus comes again. So this season, you really can find all you want, not by looking to Christmas, but beyond it, to the return of the one who came that first Christmas. That year that Matt had the tumor, it snowed a ton at Christmas. The kind of real legitimate you can actually build something out of the snow we almost never get in Texas. On Christmas Day, the kids were outside playing. I couldn't do anything because I'd just come out of brain surgery. You don't want to slip on the ice after all that. But here's what I can tell you. Jesus was enough. He was with me. He comforted me. He gave me joy. He gave me peace. He gave me hope. I don't know what kind of year you've had or what kind of Christmas you're expecting. Perhaps it's been truly a joy to the world kind of year. Perhaps your Christmas will be great. Remember that. For those who have welcomed Jesus into their life as King and asked him to invite them into his eternity, that's all just a shadow of what's coming when he returns. Praise God, enjoy Christmas, and look beyond it. And so as we look to Christmas, we understand, you know, a lot of times, a lot of articles that you're going to read around this time, they're talking about the struggles that come along with the holiday season. And if you listen to the other show that I'm on Wednesdays between Sundays with Jason Hayes, we've had this conversation about anxiety and depression that comes along with the Christmas season, because everything builds up to the December 25th. Everything. It's a looking forward to December 25th, and then December 26th comes. And what happens? You have the letdown. It's over. The gifts are gone. You start putting the lights up. You take the tree down. All the good moments that family seem to have around Christmas, all the people putting on the smiling faces, the yearning for perfection in all the Instagram posts. Mom and dad getting along. All of that is gone on December 26th. For some of us, we have great marriages. We have great relationships with our children. We go to good churches. But even with all of that, there's a brokenness that comes on December 26th. And so right now, if you go look at Gospel Coalition, you go look at ERLC or name another kind of a website that looks at theology, even churches are blogging about it right now. You're going to see a lot written about depression, anxiety, and brokenness in the Christmas season. And I remember this as a kid, of looking so forward to December 25th. And then December 26th came and it just wrecked me because all of the hype was gone. And why is that? It's because we put our hope and our excitement and our joy in lights and family time and Christmas trees. Those things aren't bad, but they can cloud what we need to be focused on. And so what I would say is, yeah, celebrate this time. Anticipate December 25th. It is a joyous time of year. I love Christmas music. I was listening to it in my office all day long. And frankly, I've been doing that since November 1st. And so I love Christmas time. But even my wife and I were talking about kind of what we're going to be doing leading up to Christmas, what we're doing after Christmas. We want to make some memories and take the kids different places. And there's a light show that we want to see. And I said, I'm okay with seeing it before Christmas. I don't have any desire to see it after Christmas. Now, why is that? Because for me, December 26th represents the ending of the season. Now, that's not Christian. That's not biblical. But that's what I have in my heart is, well, I can't look at Christmas lights on December 26th because Christmas is over. But there's a deeper meaning behind that for me. Because we're broken. And so as we celebrate the first advent, the coming of our Savior, the advent that was pointed to even back in Genesis 3 when God entered the garden, and Adam and Eve are hiding, and he says, "Where are you?" As if he didn't know. And then what do we see right then is God himself provides a sacrifice to cover their sin, to cover their nakedness. So even in Genesis 3, we're pointing to the first advent of a little baby coming to take care of the broken. But praise God, it didn't end in a manger, in a stable. That was just the beginning. We'll be back. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." That is the message. That, of course, is in Luke 2. That is the message that we have for a broken and lost world. And what I love about the Christmas story is, who did the angels go to? Did they go to the kings? Did they go to the rulers? Or did they go to the broken, filthy shepherds on the outskirts of town? Now, why is that? Why does the story start with a young woman named Mary, looking to get married to Joseph? And then the angels go to the shepherds. Well, what God is doing there is saying, look, this Savior isn't for just the rulers. This Savior isn't just for the Pharisees. This Savior isn't just for the religious elite. The one that I'm sending, the one that was foreshadowed and talked about in Genesis 3 and all through the Old Testament, the one that I'm sending to ultimately crush the head of the serpent, the one that I'm sending, it is coming for the broken. Because if the angels would have went to the rulers and the elite and the kings first, then we read it as peasants and go, well, of course the Savior comes to the elite. Of course the Savior comes to the ultra religious, to the kings, to the rulers. But no, God said, let's go tell the shepherds. What a beautiful picture of redemption. So when we read that, when we look at that text, when we think about the Christmas story, may we be a people that say, thank God that He comes to the shepherds. So at Christmas time, it's easy to get caught up in the anxiety. It's easy to get caught up in depression. It's easy to get caught up in the lights and the I say all that, and I'm taking my family to a light show tonight. It's easy to get caught up in those things. But again, those things are not bad. But if those things become the focus, then they take us away from the beautiful story that is the gospel that began right there with the birth of our Savior. A Savior that took it upon Himself to come and take on what we couldn't take, to become man while being fully God, to face temptations, to face the brokenness of this world. And so as you celebrate the Christmas season, as you look to December 25th, may it be a sweet moment for you. And I get it. Some of us are going to go and spend time with family, and we're going to sit down at a table. And last year, one of those chairs had a grandparent in it. This year, they're not there. Last year, somebody's marriage was beginning to crumble, and this year, it crumbled. And only one person's there. Last year, the kids were all with us. This year, the kids aren't home because they're at college or because there's been divorce and a kid has to be with mom or dad but can't be with both. Like, I get it. Even to the point of, unfortunately, elections have now separated families. So maybe last year, somebody supported somebody you didn't like, and so they're not going to be there this year. I got news last night that the pastor to my grandma and pawpaw, Reverend Buddy Pope, passed away yesterday. Now, I wasn't overly close to Pastor Pope. I've been Southern Baptist since I came out of the womb. But my grandma and papa all went to Richland Cumberland Presbyterian Church, a little country church right down the road from their house. You know the type of church, right next to a little cemetery. Small church. But my grandma and papa loved that little church. And they loved Pastor Buddy. And a few years ago, when my grandmother died, I was fortunate enough to be able to say some words at her funeral. I didn't get to do all of it, but I was blessed enough to say a few words at her funeral as we celebrated her life, and so of course did Pastor Buddy. And again, I hadn't spent much time with him, but my grandma and papa believed or said a lot of great things about this man, and that's all I needed to know. And so we celebrated my grandmother's life. I get back to Knoxville, and a couple days later, I get a envelope in the mail from that little country church, Richland Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and it was a check. Because somewhere in our conversations, Pastor Buddy found out I was in seminary. Not even a Presbyterian seminary, but of course a Southern Baptist one. And that church took it upon themselves to send me a check. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was a little bit to say, we're doing this for Mrs. Wood. You see, so the fact that they loved my grandmother's grandson, which is me, even though he didn't really know me that well. Sure, my grandma and papa talked about me. But you see, even in brokenness, even in death, God can use people to redeem and bring about beautiful stories. So I get it. I know it's going to be hard for some of you to go and sit down at a dinner table for Christmas and put on a smile, even though your marriage is broken, your kids have turned away from you. Or maybe you're just not happy. You're not happy at your job. Things are tough. Bank account's low. Even in the midst of all that, what we have to take away from the Christmas story, the angels came to the shepherds. That should give you hope in that brokenness. That Jesus was not just for the elite. But the contrary is true, that he came to the shepherds on the outskirts and showed up. And so in those moments of brokenness in the next few days and as we approach Christmas, look to that for your hope. We'll talk more when we come back. As we look to Christmas, it's been quite the effort for me not to just talk about Christmas every show since after Halloween. So today you're getting all of it, and to be honest, this week on Between Sundays with me and Jason, you're going to get even more of it. So what I want to do is I do want to point us to the beautiful truths of Christmas. And so I don't know if you have an Advent study that you do or that you're reading through or what that looks like, but an amazing resource, an amazing Advent study is one from Paul David Tripp. If you don't know who he is, Google him. Amazing. He's got an amazing Advent study. He also has an amazing mustache, which has nothing to do with his theology, but he just, if I can look like him when I'm older, that would be amazing. So, but he has this in on his December 3rd devotion. This is what he said. He said, right now, meaning God, is willing to battle on your behalf against evil within and without. Here and now, he is willing to teach you through his word. Now, he is willing to be faithful even when you're not. He, right now, is willing to empower you when you are weak and to restore you when you've fallen. He is willing to comfort you when you are discouraged and protect you when you've stepped in danger. And he remains willing to do everything necessary to feed, guide, sustain, and protect you until eternity is your final home. So I don't want to just be focusing on the negative and the depressing things that come along with the holiday season. That shouldn't be something that we solely focus on, but we do need to be aware of those things. We have to be aware of those things. But we also need to be aware of the joys that come with that. I'm sure many of you have traditions. You have things that you've done forever with family, and you love this time of year. Some people go on cruises, and they get out of the cold weather, and I don't know why anybody would want to do that. But maybe that's your thing. Maybe your thing is going to the mountains, or maybe it's just staying at home, and you've been in the same place for years and years and years, and you just celebrate a quiet Christmas. Whatever that looks like, what we have to be is a people that understand the brokenness around us while also understanding there's a ton to be thankful for, a ton of joy for us in understanding what Christmas truly is about. And so like for us, we're still trying to figure out. We have four kids and seven and under. And so we're still trying to figure out what tradition looks like and what memories look like. And I remember even my parents divorced when I was 14, but some of my greatest memories growing up as a child was Christmas time. And there's probably a deeper meaning to that and a lot of things and a lot of reasons why that is. But, man, I love Christmas. And the family got along well. And I remember every Christmas Eve we'd go to my grandma and pawpaw's house. And then every Christmas Eve night, we'd go to my grandmama and granddaddy's house. And then every Christmas night, the whole family would come over to our house. It was just sweet moments. Amazing moments. And so now that we're older, I look back at those times and I think, wow, how often do I even talk to my cousins? How often do I even call my grandparents? Two of my grandparents aren't even here anymore. And so the realities of a broken and fallen world, but that doesn't mean that we dwell on the broken and fallenness. The broken and fallenness should point us to the hope that we have in Jesus. And so when we get together at Christmas time, that should be at least part of our focus, right? I mean, you're over-spiritualizing Christmas. Well, excuse me, but that is the whole point. Is it not? If you're a Christian at Christmas time, and so I'm not talking, whether you do Santa or don't do Santa. That's up to your family and what you do. Whether you do Elf on the Shelf or don't do Elf on the Shelf, that's up to the family and what you do. But at some point your family, your children, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friends, your neighbors, point them to what we were talking about earlier. And when Jesus was born, that is a celebration and the beginning of something that we could not do on our own. And don't miss the details around that of the angels coming to the shepherds and what that means for us today. The fact that Mary wasn't even married yet. And she was the one chosen to carry Jesus. I mean, those are all things that point to a beautiful truth. And so, yes, family life can be difficult. Relationships at work can be difficult. Relationships with your neighbors can be difficult. All of that's true. Why? Because all of us are terrible. Even if you think you got it all figured out and you're great, trust me, you're terrible. And if you don't see those moments, you don't have kids, wait till you have kids. They're going to let you know. The other day, I was driving down the road, had my kids with me, and we get to a four-way stop, and for whatever reason, no one wanted to go, and no one knew what to do, and it was really frustrating to me because, I have some road rage issues. And so what did I do? Did I go, yeah, whoever wants to go, just go. No, I said out loud in the vehicle in front of my children, what are you doing? Just go. Somebody go. You know, in a very aggressive, angry tone. So not too long down the road, we come to another stop and some people get a little hesitant, probably looking at their phone at a light. And what does my son do, who's seven? He smacks the dash of the vehicle and says, what are you doing? Move. Well, why does he do that? Because he's watching. Because even though we think we have it all figured out, there are moments where we're terrible. And even though I get on here every single Tuesday, and I get on here every single week, and I write, and I talk to groups, and I talk at churches, and I talk about, and I wear a shirt that says Image Bearer, even though I say all of those things, and that we should care about every human because they bear the image of our Creator, even though I spend a ton of time promoting that and saying that, there are moments, many moments in my life, in my day, where I'm not treating others as if they bear the image of our Creator. Again, it points to our brokenness. When we see Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis 3 and they're hiding from God, and we read that and go, hiding from God. Why would you hide from God? He's God. He's going to find you. He knows where you're at. Well, that's what we do. We try to hide. Is there a certain sin you can't get rid of? When does that sin appear? In the darkness or in the light? In the darkness, right? Because we think that darkness can hide the sin. So in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve run into the bushes to think, hey, we can hide from the Creator of the universe. And even in that moment, we see the graciousness of our God that even says, where are y'all at? He didn't say y'all, but where are y'all at? Giving them the opportunity to say, right here, God. Giving them the opportunity to come out of the darkness into the light. We see that with Jesus in the New Testament, giving the woman at the well opportunity to come out of the darkness into the light, to say, I know why you're here in the middle of the day. You're here right now because you know no one else would be here. I know you're not married. I know you've been with a ton of men, and I know the man currently in your bed is not your husband. He gave her the opportunity to go from darkness to light. Ultimately, when Peter denied Jesus three times, and then the rooster crowed, and then Peter was like, oh man, I did what Jesus said I was going to do. And later on in the text, what did Jesus do? How much do you love me? How much do you love me, Peter? He asked him three times. Why? Because he gave him the opportunity to go from the darkness into the light. You see, that's what our Jesus does. That's why, frankly, that's why we do what we do at Hope Resource Center. It's because we know there's a lot of brokenness and a lot of darkness. And we haven't been called to stand on the shore while people are drowning and just yell at them. That's not our model. No, the gospel compels us to get in there after it. It's going to be messy. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be violent at times. People are going to betray us. They're going to hurt us. But we either believe what the gospel says or we don't. And if we believe what it says, then on December 25th, when we're celebrating, when we're also recognizing the brokenness and the depression and the anxiety and all the things that come along with the holiday season, we can have hope because of who Jesus is. We can come out of the darkness not from our own power, but because of who Jesus is. And that's a beautiful truth. And that's worth celebrating. And on top of all of that, Christmas music is amazing. And I'll be back in a second.
Shall I play for you? And lamb kept time, ba-ra-ba-ba-bum. I played my drum for him, ba-ra-ba-ba-bum. I played my best for him, ba-ra-ba-ba-bum. Ra-ba-ba-bum, ra-ba-ba-bum.
So, you know, there's been a lot of talk online about Drummer Boy, and there's people that don't like the song for some reason. I'm not real sure. People that are trying to be like, well, you know, Mary probably been upset if a dude come up and started playing the drums because baby's trying to sleep. All of those things. Whatever. It is a classic, and it's good, is my argument. And so there's plenty of Christmas songs that I would hate on and go after hard, believe me. Drummer Boy is not one of those. Not that it's theologically correct or anything like that. It's just because it's good, and that particular version has a nice little beat to it, and they don't even think they use real drums. They just use their mouths. And so good stuff. And hope you enjoyed the show today. Hopefully it pointed you to some truths of the Scripture, and that's the goal here. The goal here each week is certainly to talk about hope and the work that we're doing at Hope Resource Center and pointing people to life and celebration of life. But look, if we don't get the gospel right, then we ain't going to get life right in the womb. If we don't get the gospel right, we're not going to get life right after the womb and until the tomb. So what we have to do first and foremost as gospel people is get the gospel right. And so as we approach Christmas Day, let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate the hope in Jesus. Let's celebrate the hope in the brokenness that we cannot do this on our own. The very reason that we're going to be at dinners on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and there's going to be empty seats because a divorce happened, or because death happened, or because a kid is not coming back home and they've gone away, whatever that looks like, we can have hope in those moments because Jesus came into the brokenness. And so that chair might be absent of who was there last year, but it ain't absent of Jesus. And so celebrate that. Take moments to celebrate that. Use these next few days to not yell at your kids. And I'm saying that to myself. It's easy around this time to get so bent out of shape and so stressed and amped that what should be some of the most special moments with our children turn into moments where we're just fussing all the time. And I know they push buttons. I get it. I have four of them. They're always pushing the buttons. But let's use these times to celebrate truly. And don't let it stop on December 26th or December 25th. Like, we should be celebrating the gospel, excuse me, and what God has for us throughout the year. And so I hope you do that. If you want to partner with us at Hope, of course, it's year-end giving time. And so that means that if you make a donation between now and the last day of December, you can get tax credit for that, and we certainly would encourage you to do that. InvestingHope.com, you can give online. You can send a check to us, 2700 Painter Avenue, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. You can do that or send cash, money order. I don't know if people do that anymore, but you're welcome to do that as well. You can also give through, people have been giving through their IRAs and there's stocks. There's other ways to give, but the easiest way, the quickest way is investinghope.com and just give right there online. And we would be grateful for your partnership at Hope Resource Center. This past year, we just posted a video on our Facebook page that you can see, and I would encourage you to do that. Maybe you've been listening to this show since I've started working at Hope, and you're like, I wonder what that dude looks like. I'm on the video. You can see what I look like. And all the red hair and the red beard, it's really the best way I can say is breathtaking. I mean, that's what I would argue. I don't know if anybody else would, but I would argue that. But we posted a new video, and it kind of gave the numbers for 2018. So we were able to throw 64 baby showers. We served a ton of people this year and are certainly grateful to do that. And, you know, over 500 pregnancy tests, over 500 STD tests and treatment, a lot of ultrasounds, I think close to 500 ultrasounds. So just a lot of work happening at Hope Resource Center, and we couldn't do any of that without your partnership. So thank you for that. Excuse me. It's a good thing the show's ending because I'm about to have a coughing fit. But we are grateful to partner with you. I will not be here next Tuesday, but I will be here December 28th, dark and early in the morning. Jason Hayes, my good friend, as we host the Bob Bell Show. You do not want to miss that. December 28th, I believe it's December 28th. It's Friday morning at some 6 o'clock in the morning. That is craziness, but we're going to be here hosting and having a blast on December 28th. But until the next time on this on the Hope Show, on the Conversation with Life, I just want to say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Enjoy it. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate what God has done for you in 2018, and we will talk to you in 2019. Peace out.